friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moueta, has been chatting with me about some of the latest developments in professional boxing. Nnamdi says world heavyweight champion Anthony Joshua's next fight is scheduled for December in London.
Anthony Joshua against Kubrat Pulev from Bulgaria. The mandatory fight is set, and the date is December 12th, and this will go down at the O2 Arena in London if everything goes according to plan. Matchroom and Eddie Hearn hope to finalize by end of this week, and then we get to see this fight at the O2 Arena.
Nnamdi, do you think we'll see a capacity crowd at the O2 Arena?
Well, the UK government have stated that from the beginning of October, live crowds will be allowed to return to sporting events, which means your English Premier League, you start having live sport and live fans. And not only that, the O2 Arena holds 17,000 people. So if the UK government says, okay, now fans can return, that means you're not going to put 17,000 people in that arena. That would be nose to nose. So then maybe they'll go back and put maybe 10,000 people or 12,000 people, and they still hold it. But see, we're making all these plans, assuming that COVID-19 will go away or COVID-19 will disappear. How about if the second wave or the third wave we're all scared about happens now? Anthony Joshua and Kubrat Pulev may end up fighting in a small space by themselves, and we watch it on TV. We must be ready to deal with that and accept that when that time comes. So December 12th, not written in stone, O2 Arena, Anthony Joshua against Kubrat Pulev.
Nnamdi, what are the chances for an all-British heavyweight bout between Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury?
Good question, Sonny. There's a chance of Tyson Fury taking Anthony Joshua for all British heavyweights clash. I'm talking about showdown. That's going to be a big one. That is if Anthony Joshua and Kubrat don't happen in 2020. Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury don't happen in 2020. Then both the AJ camp and the Fury camp, they are both in the UK. They can decide to break bread, but there will be a threat of lawsuit and all that. In the fight game, you can buy out lawsuit by paying off what we call stand aside money. And you stay stand aside, they give you all these millions, allow the fight to go on. So there's a very good chance we get to see Anthony Joshua against Tyson Fury in the UK before Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder in their rubber match. That's a possibility. So it all depends on what COVID-19 have for us before these things happen.
Nnamdi, where do we stand right now with that Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder rubber match?
Sonny, the rubber match for Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder is targeted for the new Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, the home of the Las Vegas Raiders. That is set for December 19 at this new multi-billion-dollar home. The promoter, Bob Arum and Top Rank, they're looking for a crowd of between 10 and 15,000 people. Remember, the maximum capacity of this new arena is 65,000 people. The question becomes, how do you sell that many tickets during this pandemic? Well, 10,000 people in a 65,000 capacity stadium. That means you make enough room for people to social distance and still enjoy this fight, you know. But everything depends on will the U.S. government and the Nevada State Athletic Commission give a go-ahead for this fight to happen December 19th? So we're just planning ahead, hoping that this pandemic will go away. We can go back to enjoying sports and all in all.
Is Deontay healthy, Namdi? I heard he had some surgery.
There's a report that came out that before the Tyson Fury's second fight, in the final weeks of the training camp, Deontay Wilder had an injured bicep in camp and he didn't say anything about it and he went into the fight. But now he's gone through surgery. He has healed and he wants to go ahead with a rubber match, because if you take a close look at the second fight, he really didn't throw that much of his big right hand. So that was missing. And he believes that now that he's healed, he really wants his title and he wants it now.
Namdi, what's the prize money breakdown for Fury Wilder 3?
The purse split for the last fight, the second fight, was a 50-50 split. For this fight, Tyson Fury will take 60% and Deontay Wilder will take 40%, because Tyson Fury won the last fight. But don't expect them to make the kind of money they made in the second fight, because we're not talking about LifeGate. LifeGate brings in millions. These guys, the last fight, they brought big, big money. So now with no LifeGate, they're going to make some millions, but not much in this rematch, you know.
Finally, Namdi, are Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. still going ahead with their 8-round exhibition fight?
Sonny, they have finally moved the date again. So the final date now is November 28th, which is a day before Thanksgiving, which is a big holiday in the U.S. Well, Mike Tyson, Roy Jones, November 28th at the Carson, right here at Carson in my backyard. Now, Roy Jones is expressing reservations about fighting Iron Mike Tyson, because if you go back and look at the Iron Mike Tyson's videos from recent training, Iron Mike is not going to take it easy on Roy Jones. We expect a first-round explosion, first-round fireworks, regardless of what the Athletic Commission says here in California, that it's going to be exhibition, it's going to be no judges and all that. No, the fight fans want to see Iron Mike explode. Maybe he may even end up biting the ear of Roy Jones.
Ouch! Namdi, ouch!
So November 28th is going down. The Battle of the Old Geezer is for the Geritol championship belt, you know.
Geritol.
Right here in Carson, you know, in my backyard. Will I watch it? I don't know. You know, I really want to see if he's going to... Mike Tyson will bite his ears off and then do some weird things that we expect from Mike Tyson and explode with his power. But it's an interesting fight. You know, the fight fans are hungry. We've been cooped in the house. We don't get to see that much. But with the two names like that, but mind you, Sonny, this is pay-per-view. And they're looking for $75 per pop, you know. So who will put up that money? Hey, be surprised. They may end up making $1 million buy or $1.5 million buy. And everybody will go back home smiling, and on Monday morning, smiling with their bank manager.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta.
Hello, listeners. This is Hussein Khalil from Uganda. I'm a gold medalist in Commonwealth Games 1982 in Brisbane, Australia. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. On the tennis beat, our big story this week was Dominic Thiem and Naomi Osaka winning the men's and women's singles titles at the U.S. Open in New York. VOA's Jim Stevenson had reaction from both champions in his latest Game Room.
I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to the Game Room.
I achieved a life goal and a dream of myself, which I had for many, many years.
Dominic Thiem of Austria came from behind at the U.S. Open in New York to beat German Alexander Zverev 2-6, 4-6, 6-4, 6-3, 7-6 in a nerve-rattling battle for both in search of their first Grand Slam title.
For him, it was his first major finals, and for him was the same like for me. We both didn't face one of the big three, so I guess that was in the back of the head for both of us, and that's why we were on nerves, because was a very good chance for the both of us.
Without Novak Djokovic, Rafael Nadal, or Roger Federer in the way, the 27-year-old world number three team appeared to have blown his chance as he fell two sets behind Zverev. But the title ultimately came to the very end.
In a fifth set tiebreak, anybody can win. So I think it's very understandable that we both didn't play our highest pace anymore.
While he felt the level of play had deteriorated, both were equally tired but tough to keep bodies and minds going.
When he served for the match, I was struggling physically, but I also thought that he is not the freshest anymore. So I was just hoping to maybe get another chance, that he's not serving that huge anymore like he did in the beginning of the match. And I played a great game there and brought myself back into the match.
For Zverev, missed opportunities.
I was super close to being Grand Slam champion. You know, I was a few games away, maybe a few points away. But for me, what upset me the most, I think, is not the third set or something like that. It's the fifth set. I had a lot of chances in the fifth set. Didn't use them.
And that left Thiem as the first player to win a Grand Slam from having trailed by two sets since Gaston Gaudio at the 2004 French Open. Coronavirus aside, both met at center court after the match.
We are really good friends. We have a long-term friendship, long-term rivalry, and I think that we were both tested negative maybe 14 times, something like that. This week, and we just wanted to share this moment, and I guess that we didn't put anybody in danger, so I think it was fine.
Zverev, of course, was dejected.
Losing 7-6 in the fifth after being two sets to love and a breakup is not easy. At the speech, I mean, I got emotional. I couldn't put two words together. I don't actually remember what I said. So, yeah, it was a difficult moment for me.
Thiem, who had lost all three of his previous Grand Slam final appearances, is the second Austrian to win a Grand Slam after Thomas Muster's 1995 French Open title. Thiem thanked, well, his team.
I mean, it's by far not only myself. It's an accomplishment from all my team, from all my family, and I guess also that today is the day where I gave back a huge amount of what they did for me.
Zverev, playing in his first Grand Slam final, says he will win one day.
I mean, I'm 23 years old. I don't think it's my last chance, and I do believe that I will be a Grand Slam champion at some point.
Thiem is the first player born in the 1990s to claim a men's Grand Slam, and the first outside of the big three, Nadal, Djokovic, and Federer, to claim one since Stan Wawrinka's 2016 U.S. Open triumph. Thiem's title dream began early.
Of course, as a kid as well, when I started to play tennis, but back then it's so far away, and then I got closer and closer to the top, and at one point I realized that, wow, maybe one day I can really win one of the four biggest titles in tennis, and I put a lot of work in. I mean, I dedicated basically my whole life until this point to win one of the four majors, and now I did it.
I feel like this year was very strange, so honestly, to have one good thing happen for me is really satisfying.
It's quite a good thing for Naomi Osaka of Japan, who won the U.S. Open women's singles title. She found her latest win a little incomprehensible.
For me, it's a bit weird because I feel like it's happened recently, but at the same time, it feels like, you know, it happened a long time ago, Australian Open.
That title in 2019 and her 2018 U.S. Open win makes Osaka the first Asian player to claim three Grand Slam tennis titles. Osaka topped Victoria Azarenka of Belarus 1-6, 6-3, 6-3.
Yeah, I mean, I would say there are definitely moments or points, per se, during the match where, you know, you feel the pressure, but then you just have to think to yourself, probably the other person feels the same way. And, you know, this is a fun thing about sports is that it's a competition.
Osaka says she's learned much since her first U.S. Open win.
When I first did it, I wasn't, you know, prepared for everything, and I wasn't aware of how much work is going to be put in next time. So I would definitely say I'm more humbled now, and I'm more grateful.
And grateful for the attention received for the face masks she's been wearing after each win, with each mask bearing the name of a victim of social injustice.
It's a bit weird because I never really thought people would care about my voice or the things that I'm doing, but I feel like there's a purpose, and I just want, you know, more people to hear what I, well, I'm not really talking, but hear what I have to say, but I'm not really talking.
Naomi Osaka's big win has sparked big reactions from fans in Tokyo, eager to praise her stand against social injustice. 67-year-old Kazuyoshi Hosoya, who works at a university in Tokyo, was searching for a newspaper about Osaka's victory. I jumped for joy at her win. I know she's rallying for racial justice, and I've heard on TV that she was doing her best to use all seven face masks in reaching the final. I think this is amazing that she actually accomplished this, using all seven masks. Masataro Tanimoto is a 26-year-old office worker in Tokyo. Including myself, I think there are many people who are not interested in a topic like racism, but Osaka has created an opportunity to open the topic. Although people may agree or disagree, I think it is a good thing that the issue becomes a topic of discussion. Osaka's strident views on social media have made her an icon for many young Japanese, like 24-year-old Wakako Tanaka. I feel happy that a famous person like Osaka engages in such activities to protest against racism, and I hope Japanese celebrities or athletes also follow suit. Osaka, who has a Japanese mother and Haitian father, has become the face of a changing Japan coming to terms with challenges to its self-image as a racially homogenous society. Japan's Olympic minister Seiko Hashimoto insists the rearranged 2020 Games must be held, while the International Olympic Committee says only that it is committed to delivering a safe event. Currently, all the people involved with the Games are working together to prepare, and the athletes are also making considerable efforts towards next year's Games under the circumstances they've been handed. So I think we have to hold the Games at any cost. But with less than a year before the Games are scheduled to begin July 23rd, the biggest question remains whether the Tokyo Olympics can ever take place. Tokyo 2020 CEO Toshiro Muto hopes the Games can become a working model for the future of the Olympics. It is rather difficult for us to expect that the coronavirus pandemic is contained. But if we can deliver the Games in Tokyo with coronavirus, Tokyo can be the role model for the next Olympic Games or other various international events. The best case scenario for the IOC is to hold the Tokyo Games with few or no restrictions in place because of COVID-19, should a vaccine become available. Fan attendance may or may not happen. A so-called bubble for the approximate 11,000 athletes is a possibility. The harshest scenarios are another postponement or cancellation, which would mean financial disaster for Japanese organizers. More than $12.6 billion has been pumped into the project, hundreds of millions more to delay it by another year.
Thanks, Jim. That's VOA's Jim Stevenson. Jim's Game Room opens with new stories each week, or you can play anytime at voanews.com.
Hi, my name is Musa Kida. I'm the president of the Nigerian Basketball Federation. I'm also the secretary general of Zone 3 FIBA in Africa. I'm also a new member of the FIBA Finance Commission. And I want to say a special shout out to Sunnyside of Sports. Thank you.
Thank you, Musa. Musa Kida, the president of the Nigeria Basketball Federation, says a new sponsorship deal with Total Oil Company will help promote the sport in the country. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Musa said the package is worth more than $390,000.
The MOU signed between Total and the Nigerian Basketball Federation covers a sponsorship package for 5 years of the MBBF men's divisions 1 and 2 in Nigeria. So it's a partnership that goes to the very deep grassroots of where basketball is being played. It's a show, of course, of Total of the interest it has in the in youth development and identifying clearly with Nigeria. So we as MBBF were quite happy to be in this kind of partnership, which actually buttresses the fact that what we did in the last 2 years of the same type partnership is very, very commendable. So clearly, Total also has seen that there's delivery after an assessment of the 2 years, and that's why we have gone into the 5-year term.
What would the Federation benefit from the Memorandum of Understanding signed with Total Oil Company?
The Federation stands to benefit, of course, developing the potential of our players, awakening the awareness that basketball can be played in every nook and corner of the country. It also, in my own very humble opinion, I'm going to promote and make a very visible, coordinated growth of any of our kids right from divisions, from Division 1, I mean from Division 2 to Division 1, and thereby going up to the Premier League. So I think that's the real benefit for Nigeria, Nigerian basketball. The package is 15 million naira per division per year. So that makes it 150 million naira globally.
Do you have similar sponsorship deal with other organizations?
In as much as I would like to say we wish that we had many sponsors like this, we don't. But we are working very hard to get sponsors for the other leagues, including the Premier League, for the country.
Is the Federation in contact with national team players as part of preparations for the Olympic Games?
The Federation is in very active contact with our national team players and even the others that potentially want to play for the national team. We are doing that through our technical teams who are on ground monitoring and making sure that everybody is in within the context of the environment we're in now in some good form, so that once we come back to some form of normality, we'll actually be running right from the starting block.
That's Musa Kida, the president of the Nigeria Basketball Federation, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria. Finally, the National Basketball Association has announced its all-NBA first team for the 2019-2020 season. Los Angeles Lakers superstar LeBron James earned his record 16th all-NBA selection. LeBron was a first-team pick on all 100 ballots, joining Milwaukee's Giannis Antetokounmpo as the only unanimous first-team selections. LeBron's Lakers teammate Anthony Davis, Houston guard James Harden, and Luka Doncic of the Dallas Mavericks also were selected. The 21-year-old Doncic earned the honor in his second NBA season, becoming the first player to do that since Tim Duncan in the 1998-1999 season. And And that wraps up the September 17th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's Newsmaker Interview Program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.